Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this masechet. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we had started a Mishnah that began on Daf Yud Aleph Omid Beis, and the nature of our shiur has it that we left off in the middle of the Mishnah. The last point that we dealt with was found in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Omid Aleph, about 4 lines from the top. The Mishnah said that if the Mincha is offered with a mindset of chutz limkomo, it's posel v'ein bo kores, meaning that, let us say, for example, that when he places the handful of the meal offering on the altar fire, he has an intention to eat the shirayim, the remainder part, in the wrong location, and namely outside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that will render the mere mindset, your incorrect mindset, will render the mincha, the meal offering, unfit. And however, one who eats it will not be guilty of the kores penalty. However, if one has a mindset that involves wrong time beyond the time boundary that is allowed, that results in it becoming pigul and hence chayav olav kores. And the Mishnah then added, ubelvad shiyakriv hamatir kimitzvoso. In order for the kores penalty to set in, all other factors must be in place. We're not giving a literal definition, but we're going to let the Mishnah itself illustrate what this phrase means. And you can see in the markings that we have a volcano form around the word ketzad, and that you see here, and a few lines later, another volcano form likewise around the word ketzad. At this point in the Mishnah, at the point of the volcano, the Mishnah will be illustrating the halacha, the rules that it just stated with, and the Mishnah will illustrate it with examples. We also have a double underline with a design in it to highlight the phrase korev hamatir kimitzvaso. That was the case that would result in pigul, and then later the same type of marking, you see it says lo korev hamatir kimitzvaso. In the second case, we squiggle underline the word lo to emphasize that there it's different than this case. So let's now see the examples of korev hamatir kimitzvaso that would result in the mincha becoming pigul. Ketzad korev hamatir kimitzvaso. The term matir is a reference to the kometz, which is placed on the fire, and that matir means allows. That allows the shirayim, the remainder mincha, the remainder of the meal offering, to be eaten by the kohanim. Of course, it goes without saying that in this case, since there is an incorrect mindset, so that there will be no allowance for the eating of the remainder. However, what we're trying to communicate in this piece of Mishnah is that other than that incorrect mindset of chutz lizmano, everything else is in place. So let's see. We have here 3 examples that would be considered korev hamatir kimitzvaso. Number 1, komatz b'shtika. He took the initial kmitza, which is the first of 4 activities. He did it without any incorrect mindset. He did it, b'shtika means in silence, he did it properly. However, nosan b'kli, he took the handful and put it in the receiving service vessel. It's called the kli shores. It's a service vessel that in which the kometz is placed before it's brought that way to the altar. He put it in the service vessel with an incorrect mindset, v'holich, or he carried it with the incorrect mindset, or v'hiktir, or he offered it on the fire. Notice we have 4 steps. You have komatz, nosan v'kli, holich v'hiktir. In this case, the kmitza was done properly. the subsequent steps, one of them might have done with the following mindset, chutz lizmano. That means he did any one of those subsequent steps with a chutz lizmano mindset. Oy, shekomatz chutz lizmano. Or, we have a case where the initial step, the taking of the handful, was done with this out of time mindset. Nosan bekli v'holich v'hikdir b'shtika. The subsequent steps, they were done without an incorrect mindset. They were done b'shtika. Oy, there's a third scenario. Shekomatz v'nosan bekli v'holich v'hikdir chutz lizmano. This third step means he did all of them with the uniform chutz lizmano mindset. No other intervening incorrect thoughts. Just chutz lizmano. Because they were all done with this uniform chutz lizmano mindset, that's also considered korev hamatir kimitzvoso. The idea behind this is that he didn't have any other incorrect mindset. Hence the term mitzvoso appears. It was done as supposed to be done, meaning as supposed to be done, with the exception of this chutz lizmano mindset. If that be the case, then zehu, as the Mishnah says, zehu shekorev hamatir kimitzvoso. This is a fulfillment of korev hamatir kimitzvoso, which we said before results in pigul. Ketzad lo korev hamatir kimitzvoso. What is an example of where the matir, where the kometz is not offered kimitzvoso? And we're going to have to qualify the expression kimitzvoso would mean kimitzvoso in such a way that it would lead to pigul. So here we're talking about how is it that it would not become pigul that would result in kores. I realize that we're packing a lot of explanatory words into an otherwise short expression, but you will see shortly that it's necessary to add all of these explanatory words in order to appreciate this phrase. The best way, of course, to understand things is through example. So here we go. We're now looking for examples of lo korev hamatir kimitzvoso, which the Mishnah said above that it would not result in pigul with a kores penalty. Komatz chutz limkoimoi, he took the handful with a mindset of out of boundary, out of physical boundary, out of that he would eat the remainder out of the azora. Nosan bekli v'holich v'hikter chutz lizmano. Here he did one of the subsequent stages, either the nesina bekli, the carrying of it, or the burning of the kometz, with a chutz lizmano mindset. In this case, he started off with a chutz limkomo mindset. He then had a subsequent chutz lizmano mindset. There's a mixture of mindsets that will create a non-pigul situation, even though you can see there is a chutz lizmano thought involved, but it started off with a chutz limkomo thought. Oh, another example. Shekomatz chutz lizmano. He started off with an incorrect time mindset. Nosan bekli v'holich v'hikter chutz limkomo. And then he did one of the subsequent stages with a out of physical place mindset. And the chiddush here is even though he began with a wrong time mindset, but nevertheless, at a subsequent stage, he mixed in an outside of place mindset. Oy, shekomatz nosan bekli v'holich v'hikter chutz limkomo. Or he processed the mincha without any out-of-time mindset, just out-of-place mindset. Zehu shelo korev hamatir kimitzvoso. Any of these last examples would be called korev hamatir sheloi kimitzvoso, or shelo korev hamatir kimitzvoso, and hence no pigul. It is, in fact, possible, it's unfit, but it doesn't result in pigul, which ordinarily would result in a kores penalty. Minchas choite u minchas kenois, the meal offering of the sinner, the sinner meal offering. Or the minchas kenois is the sota meal offering that the suspected woman of immorality, the married woman who's suspected of conducting an immoral experience, brings a minchas kenos. With these two minachos, there's an additional psul, which is capable of taking it out of the realm of pigul. In these two types of minchas, a what's known as a shelo lishmo mindset would also void it from becoming, or prevent it from becoming, pigul, pigul with the kores penalty. And shelo lishmo is a situation where a korban is offered with the intent of it being another korban, or for being brought for someone other than the actual owner. In other words, with someone else in mind. So these two korbanos, minchas chote and minchas knos shekomtzan, where the handful was taken shelo lishmon, and then nosan the kli v'holich v'hikter, or or let us say, in addition to the kmitza shelo lishmon, he either put it in the second vessel, the second kli shoris, or carried it or burnt it on the mizbeach with a chutz lizmano mindset, oy shekomatz chutz lizmanoi. And then the nosan bekli vaholich vehikter shelo lishmon, oy shekomatz the nosan bekli vaholich vehikter sheloi lishmon, or he did any one of the subsequent stages with a simple shelo lishmo mindset. Zehu shelo korev hamatir kimitzvaso. This is another example of lo korev hamatir kimitzvaso. When we say another example, this is with regards to the choit minchas chote and the minchas kenois. The Mishnah goes on now with four examples of, let us say, a mixing of two machshavos in one avoda, in one stage of action. Le'echol kezayas b'chutz kezayas l'mochar. While he's doing one of the mincha offering stages, we have kmitza, matan b'kli, hoylocha naktora, any one of those stages with this dual mindset, where he intends to eat an olive quantity outside and an olive quantity of mincha the next day. Number two, kezayas lamocher, kezayas b'chutz. It's the same thing, simply with a reversed order. Number three, kechatzi zayas b'chutz, kechatzi zayas lamocher. Here he has the intention of eating a half olive quantity outside and a half olive quantity beyond the time. And number four is a reversal of three, kechatzi zayas lamocher, kechatzi zayas b'chutz. Any of these last examples, of last four examples, posel v'ein bo kores. The mincha is voided, it's unfit. However, one who eats from the shirayim after this took place, he does not incur the kores penalty. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, ze haklal, im machsheves hazman kodmo lemachsheves hamokoyim, pigol v'chayovin olav kores. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the chachamim who will appear a bit later. In effect, we saw a reflection of the Chachom Ori up till this point. Rabbi Yehuda is a new opinion. He says, if the incorrect mindset preceded the incorrect mindset concerning time preceded the incorrect mindset concerning place, then it is pigul. Pigul v'chayoven olav kores. The fact that the time preceded, that establishes it as such, as a chutz lizman issue. And this is a function of Rabbi Yehuda emphasizing the firstness, the first mindset. Following his rule, im machsheves hamokim kodmo lamachsheves hazman, posel v'ein bo kores. If incorrect place preceded incorrect time mindset, then we go according to the first expression, and since it was an issue of out of place, no kores penalty. The chachamim oimrim ze v'ze posel v'ein bo kores. The chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say that once anything else, any other incorrect mindset is mixed in. When we say any other mindset, let's be specific. Once a chutz lemokom mindset is mixed in, that will neutralize the power of the chutz lizmano mindset, even if the chutz lizmano mindset took place first. Turning to the Gemara, we have a topic heading that accompanies this sugya. You'll see it on the outside margin. It's called the Nosei, the topic heading. And in parentheses, we've indicated Ad Omid Beis. This is a long topic as far as the length of Gemara that's dedicated to the issue is concerned. We've written in Shirayim Shechosru Ben Kmitza Laktora. If you have a situation where the handful was taken, and before the handful of meal offering was placed on the altar, the balance, the shirayim that ordinarily would be eaten by the kohen, it became diminished. Ha'im haktoras hakoimetz mehani, does the offering of the handful, in the given the current situation of a diminished quantity of remainder, does it have an effect, limit be'inu be'pigol, that the... Let us emphasize before going any further that if you have a situation like this where after the handful was taken, the shirayim became diminished, it is not allowed to be eaten. That shirayim, those shirayim are osur ba'achila. However, once they're classified as osur ba'achila, is there any chance of the following two halachas of taking effect? The first is l'mikbeinu b'pigol. Let's say the Kaimitz was taken, and after the handful was taken, the shirayim became diminished, and when placing the handful into the fire, just as one example, he had in mind, the Kohen had in mind to eat the shirayim beyond the accepted time. Would those diminished shirayim become classified as pigol? On the other hand, you can say that since it's also be'achila, so then the pigol state cannot set in. A second question is, does the offering of this kometz with an incorrect mindset, or let's go back, does the offering of this kometz with the case of diminished shirayim, not necessarily with incorrect mindset, with correct mindset, however, the problem is that the shirayim have become diminished. Ordinarily, when a mincha is brought, up till the point that the handful is offered, there is a prohibition of benefiting on a personal level from the mincha, from the dedicated mincha offering. Only after the kometz, the handful, is placed in the fire, then the kohanim have a heter to eat the shirayim, and once the heter achila sets in, the iser mi'ila, the prohibition of benefiting from it, is canceled. Are we able to say that the offering of the kometz, given a diminished shirayim situation, also is effective in canceling the prohibition of me'ila? Or do we say that since the shirayim, in effect, are not allowed to be eaten, they also maintain the iser me'ila? There is a situation in halacha where one may be prohibited from benefiting from something sanctified. However, it does not carry with it the me'ila violation. And there is a big difference between something that's simply prohibited and as opposed to something that not only is prohibited, but it carries with it a me'ila violation. One who violates me'ila is also chayav in bringing a special sacrifice, an atonement sacrifice, called an asham me'ilois. Continuing in the structural note that we have, the mivneh, you will see a triangle that appears in the after the Gemara presents its opening question, as we've done already with our introductory remarks. The Gemara has a triangle that we've provided, and it's part of a ma'akav. That means an attempt to keep track of the sugya, to keep track of the back and forth nature of the Gemara. That means that the triangle will the triangle's position will be changing from time to time. With the point facing up, we've indicated that this represents Rav Huna's approach, Ein Hahaktora Mahani, that the offering of a kometz to take care of a diminished shirayim situation will be of no effect. The triangle form will flip around when it comes to Rava, who appears a few lines after Rav Huna. Rava is also labeled Roman numeral 1 and 2. And we will explain. Rava holds Haktora Mehani. Initially, the Haktora is effective. It will be capable of establishing Pigul, even though the Shiraim is diminished, and it will be effective in canceling the Me'ila prohibition. Then we have a note, He'ora, Ba'omid Beis, Rava Choyzer B'daito. On Omid Beis, Rava will reverse his opinion. Lochein Simanu Oso Shom, with a triangle with a point facing up. So don't think that we've lost track of the flow of the sugya when you see Rava himself appearing in a triangle of two positions, one facing down and then later on one facing up. That's really a function of Rava later on agreeing with Rav Huna's position. And you can see that Rav Huna has a triangle facing up, so later in the sugya, when you see Rava's name with that marking, that's an indication that at that point Rava ends up holding like Rav Huna at the opening of this Gemara. As we turn to the Gemara text itself, you'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. The vertical dashed line indicates that the question length occupies the lines of Gemara opposite this descending vertical dashed line. The Gemara, Ibaya Laho, L'divrei ha'oimer, according to the opinion that says, Shirayim shechosru ben kemitza lahaktora maktir koimetz alehen. This case actually is the point of controversy. Therefore, the Gemara is pointing out that according to the opinion that when you have the diminished shirayim that became diminished after the handful was taken, there is an opinion that says you are nevertheless still expected to offer the handful on the altar. There is an opinion that disagrees, but we're going with the opinion that you continue the mincha offering process. V'kaimalon, and we also hold the oisan shirayim asurim b'achila, that even though you're going to offer the handful, which is designed ordinarily to allow the remainder to be eaten, but in this case, since the remainder has become diminished, there is a prohibition of eating an isur achila. Nevertheless, we want to ask, mahu de tehani lehu haktora? The word tehani means, has to do with effectiveness. Will the burning of the haktora of this handful be effective? Aleph. Lemikbeinu bepigol, to establish pigol, namely that if while he was offering the handful, he had in mind a chutz lizmano mindset, out of time thought, would this shirayim become established as pigol? Beis, a second question, velifkinu midei meila, will the offering of the komets under these circumstances cancel the meila violation or prohibition that exists on this mincha? Omar Rav Huna and Rava later on will be making reference to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Now they have a machlokis with regard to the realm of animal sacrifices, where an animal, let us say, before the Zrikas Adam takes place, the sprinkling of the blood of an animal sacrifice takes place, the limbs of the animal, the innards, are not allowed to leave the inner, the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say you have a korban whose blood was received, and before its sprinkling took place, the korban left the azorah of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's called an iser yotze. Yotze means to leave. Rabbi Kiva says that the case like that, where the limbs of the animal left the azorah before the sprinkling of the blood takes place, the zrika that is done nevertheless has takes effect. he calls it Zrika Mo'eles. It has an effect. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, says that when you have a situation that the animal left the Azara prematurely, the Zrika that's done is of no value. It has no effect. With that introduction in mind, let us see Rav Huna. Omar Rav Huna, Afilu l'Rabbi Akiva, d'Omar Zrika Mo'eles Liyotze, that the sprinkling of the blood of a korban which left the Azara prematurely, the Zrika will be effective. Hani Mili Yotze, that is true with regard to the psul, the prohibition of physical departure. When we speak about the Zrika being effective, it may be pointed out that we're talking about the Zrika enabling the Pigal mindset to take hold, and the issue of it losing the Mi'ilah status. So Rabbi Akiva says that the Zrika will be effective on an animal sacrifice who left the Azara prior to the actual Zrika taking place. So Rav Huna says, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who is the extreme, so to speak, in the idea of effectiveness, Hani Mili Yotze, that is true with regard to the problem of departure. Deise Be'ene, as far as all of the elements of the sacrifice, they're all extant, they're all there. Upsul Machmas Dover Acher Hu, and it's lacking. The psul, it's lacking, is because of an extraneous matter, something extraneous to the physical animal itself. In this case, when we talk about the psul, the lacking being extraneous, we're referring to the fact that the animal had left the Azara. Avol chisaron. But when it comes to our topic of shirayim that became diminished, the psula de gufei hu, it's an inherent problem. It's inherent to the physical meal offering itself. Lo mahani le haktora. According to this approach, the problem of of chisaron is a more severe problem. And therefore, even Rabbi Akiva, who generally holds from effectiveness, the offering stage being effective even when there is a problem, he won't go so far as to say when the problem is of an inherent nature, inherent to the physical sacrifice itself, then even Rabbi Akiva will say that the action of offering will be ineffective. And therefore, he says, Lo mahani le haktora. Amarle Rava. Rava takes an extreme opposite approach. Before we go further, let's just note that in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a Roman numeral number 1 with a triangle point facing down. If you skim over to Omid Beis, you'll see a Roman numeral number 2 in a triangle, also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. But there, you will see the point is facing up, and it's opposite the line in which Rava's name appears, also with such a triangle. The reason for that is, as we mentioned earlier, because at that point in the Gemara, Rava will be changing his opinion. In the meantime, Rava says, "Adarabba," he says opposite. He says to the contrary, "Afinu l'Rebbe Eliezer d'Amar Ein Zrika Mo'eles Liyotze." Even the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, who says that Zrika will not be effective when it comes to exiting, Hani Mili Yotze. That's true with regard to that problem known as exiting. The Lesse Bifnim, where it's not in the Azora, it's just not in the right place. It's not here at all. So since the korban experienced a situation where it's not there, it's not bifnim at all, the zrika cannot be effective. Aval chisaron de ise bifnim. However, the issue of quantity becoming diminished, but location hasn't been changed, where the mincha in our case remains inside the azara. Mahanyo le haktora. Even Rabbi Eliezer, and it goes without saying, Rabbi Akiva, will say that the offering of the handful on the fire will be effective. Effective, as we said, to if there's a pigul mindset, it can become pigul. And as far as mi'ila is concerned, it can extricate the mincha from being in from one who benefits from it being in violation of mi'ila. Omar Rava Mino Amin Olof. From where do I know that Haktoras Koimetz on Shirayim Shechosru is effective? Disnan. We may point out that in order for Rava to develop his point, this will preoccupy the Gemara for a number of lines. This takes us till the third line from the top of Amud Beis. You will notice that we've provided here a tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, because this, in effect, is an answer to the question of Mino Aminola. From where do I know this, says Rava. So we will present a long answer till, as we said, the third line from the top on Amud Beis. After that, there you will notice on the fourth line from the top, Abaye attempts to rebuff what Rava cites as his source. So, turning to the Gemara itself, or even before we read the Gemara, just another word of introduction, we're going to see in the Gemara a citation from the Mishnah, and then a citation, a rather abbreviated citation of a Braisa that is taught by Rabbi Chiya. We will want to note that the Braisa essentially parallels the Mishnah, but there's going to be a minor difference that the Gemara will feature. And as we go on in the Gemara, we will try to clarify and develop what that minor difference is, and that minor difference, in fact, is going to be the basis of Rava's point. So, we're turning back to the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. Omar Rava, Mino Amin Olof. From where do I know that Haktoras Koimetz on to cover Shirayim that are Shechosru is effective? This not the source. The Mishnah says Hakoimetz is a mincha. Lecho Shiorel Bachutz Oy Kezayis Mi Shiorel Bachutz. The one who takes a handful of mincha offering with the intention of eating the remainder, the shirayim, outside of the base of the azora, or with the intention of eating an aleph quantity of shirayim outside of the azora. This was the opening example in our Mishnah from Daf Yud Aleph Omid Beis. So the Mishnah in its presentation gives two possibilities. Either the intention of eating all of the shirayim outside of the azara, or an intention to eat an olive quantity of shirayim outside the azara. The Toni Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya has a braisa that parallels our Mishnah, which says, HaKoimetz es HaMincha, Velotoni oikezayis. In other words, it's essentially the same. His brice is the same as our Mishnah. He just leaves out the example of oikezayis mishirao. In other words, the kohen is taking a handful of the mincha with the intention of eating the balance, the shirayim, the remainder in the wrong place. Why is it that Rabbi Chiya does not give this other example? My time loitoni oi kezayis. Why does Rabbi Chiya in his braisa not feature that example? Lav kagon, is it not because shechosru shirayim? Because his braisa actually features a case of someone taking a handful, and after taking the handful, the balance, the shirayim, became diminished. That's shechosru shirayim v'komu luhu akezayis, and all that remains of the shirayim is a kezayis. So that at the point of the taking of the handful, everything was there, and in fact, he could have taught his brisa that using the example of taking of handful with intention of eating the shirayim or a kezias of the shirayim. However, right after taking the handful, the shirayim became diminished. With regard to the became diminished, and all that remains of shirayim is a kezias. So in effect, the shirayim is a kezias. And at this point, after the kmitza was done, with regard to the subsequent stages, the matan kli, or the halacha, or the haktorah, which are also stages of mincha offering in which one might have an incorrect mindset, but with regard to those subsequent stages, you can't teach shirayim o kezias mishirayim, because the shirayim in fact is a kezias only. In other words, the shirayim and the kezias are one and the same. So the Gemara points out the kevon de bematan kli behiluchu b'haktorah lo masni lei. It would be inappropriate then to teach oy kezias ashirayim, because at that point the amount of shirayim that remains is a kezias. So as we said, the kezias example and the shirayim example are one in the same. Therefore, bekemitzonami lechol shirayim lotoni oy kezias. Therefore, in the initial handful taking, the initial stage, the kemitza stage, it also the Mishnah, the Braisa of Rabbi Chia does not feature the two examples of lechol shirayim o kezias mishirayim. Why? As we said, only for streamlining purposes, simply because the subsequent stages, the matan kli, hoiloch, and aktorah, he cannot teach both cases because at that point it became diminished. So likewise, in the opening example as well, he doesn't teach both cases, namely shirayim, o kezias mishirayim. Now, we have established so far that Rabbi Chiya's Braisa is dealing with a case of shirayim shechosru, the Katani Seifa, and the end of that of his source says, Pigol v'chayovin olav kores, that the Pigol state can be reached even though the shirayim have become diminished. For example, let us say he had taken the handful of mincha. The shirayim then became diminished, and then when placing the kometz in the receiving vessel, he had in mind to eat the, what we now know is the kezias of remaining meal offering, to eat it out beyond its correct time. The source teaches that it would become pigul and chayav kori. So what do we see from all of this? Alma, we see mahan yalu haktorah, that the haktorah is effective on a case of shirayim shechosru. That is Rava's point. That's where it's from this point that Rava sees his position. Omar le Abaye. Abaye offers a rebuttal or a rejection of Rava's proof. Le'olam loy mahanya. I could argue that in general the offering of a kometz concerning shirayim shechosru would not be effective in bringing those shirayim to a pigul state. Well, how are we to explain Rabbi Chiya's Braisa? Ha money. Rabbi Chiya's Braisa represents the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We will see shortly that Rabbi Eliezer has a halacha, whose, by the way, his name is featured, you can see in this Tanaic source, toward the end of the source, you see his name is circled. Rabbi Eliezer focuses on the actual kometz itself. And we will have to understand why in Rabbi Chiya's Braisa, he didn't use the expression O Kezias. So let's see the source first, and then offer the explanation to Rabbi Chiya's Braisa based on Rabbi Eliezer. Disnan hakometz v'halavoyna v'haktores uminchas kohanim uminchas kohen moshiach uminchas nesachim. the handful of a meal offering. The Lavona, that's the Kometz. The Lavona is the spice. The Keteres, the incense of the Beis HaMikdash. Minchas Kohanim is a mincha brought by a Kohen that has special rules that we're not going to get into now. Uminchas Kohen Moshiach, the mincha brought by a Kohen Gadol. Uminchas Nesochim, this is the mincha that's brought together with an animal offering, which from which the Shirayim are not eaten. Shehikriv Me'achas Mehen Kezayas Bachutz. Let's focus, as far as the explanation of our sugya, simply on the opening case, the case of the handful. A person, the Kohen, was holding the Kometz and is about to put it in the fire. And he's makriv a kezias of the handful with a beyond time mindset. That's what it says here, shikriv me'achas mehen kezias bachutz, with an incorrect, with an incorrect place mindset. Chayov. This is considered we have to re-explain ourselves, just to correct an error. He offered it outside the Beis HaMikdash. This is not dealing right with mindset, but rather we're dealing with the problem of Haktoras Chutz, of offering things outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Tanakhama says that if he offers even part of the Kometz outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside the Azora, he is in violation of Haloas Chutz, offering outside, which carries with it, by the way, a Kores penalty. Reb Elazar Poter ad Shiyaktir es Kulo. Reb Elazar disagrees and says that the prohibition of Haloas Chutz does not set in until he offers the entire amount of what he is supposed to offer outside. The Kevon de Bekmitza lo masni le oi kezayis mekomtza bachutz. Now we are explaining the tie-in between Rabbi Lezer's Shita here and the Brice of Rabbi Chia. Since in the case of the offering of the handful, the expression of O Kezias will not have any meaning, because the Brice of Rabbi Chia is based on Rabbi Lezer. And Rabbi Lezer says that there is no violation of Chutz until one offers the entire quantity, not a partial quantity. And therefore, since with regard to the Kemitza, the Reb Chia Braisa, which is based on Rabbi Lezer, cannot teach the example of a Kezias of the Kometz outside, B'shirayim nami no lo masni le oi Kezias. When he deals with the issue of the Shirayim, of the balance, he also does not teach the case of oi Kezias. So if you're asking for why in Rabbi Chia's source you don't see, with regard to the Shirayim, the expression O Kezias, it's because with regard to the halachas concerning the initial handful, the expression of O Kezias would be inappropriate. However, we must point out, which is most important for our sukkah, that in general, according to Rabbi Lezer, there will be no pigul that sets in to a case of Shirayim Shechosru. The main point that Abaye is making is that the explanation of the Rabbi Chia Braisa is not necessarily like Rava explained the Rabbi Chia Braisa. Rava had explained the Rabbi Chia Braisa with the missing expression of O Kezias based on a diminishing of the Shirayim. Abaye says, not at all. Rabbi Chia's Braisa does not feature a case of diminished Shirayim. And if you'll ask, if that be the case, so then why does he not teach the expression of Oy Kezias? The answer to that is, that has to do with the initial handful and the halacha regarding handful being offered outside the Beis HaMikdash. Because of the halachas governing the taking of the initial handful and it's being offered bachutz, in that case, O Kezias could not be used. Therefore, with regard to halachas concerning the Shirayim, he also doesn't deal with the case of where just a Kezias remains. But as we emphasize once again, as far as Abaye's approach is concerned, Rabbi Chiyo's Braisa is not dealing with a case of diminished Shirayim. The Gemara now asks, E Rabbi Elazar, if this is really a reflection of Shitas Rabbi Elazar, Hai Lahaktir Koinsa, the expression that appears in Rabbi Chiyo's Braisa says, the offering of the handful, and that indicates the offering of the handful alone outside could result in a penalty of Haloas Chutz. Rather, if it's a true reflection of Shitas Rabbi Elazar, it should have said, Lahaktir Koinsa Ulevoinasa Miboyalei, with your standard Korban Mincha, in addition to the meal part of it, the grain part, there's also Levona, a spice that's brought along with the Mincha. Shitas Rabbi Elazar, we will understand very shortly as we read the next quoted source, and we'll see why Rabbi Chiyo's Braisa can't really reflect Rabbi Elazar. Tisnan, why should it have taught Komsa Ulevonosa? Because the Tanaic source teaches Hakimitz Velavoina, Sheikriv Es Achas Mehen Bachutz, Chayov. In the case of a mincha that has Lavona that accompanies it, if one offers either the handful of the meal offering or the Lavona part outside the Azara, he would be Chayev. Rebbe Elazar Poter Achi Akriv Es Shnehem. Rebbe Elazar holds that there is no guilt unless one offers both elements outside the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Chiyo's Braisa did not mention the Lavona as well. So if the Rabbi Chiyo Braisa is really a reflection of Shitas Rabbi Elazar, there should have been an indication of Lavona as well. The Gemara responds to that and says, no, the Rabbi Chiyo Braisa really is Rabbi Elazar, and if you'll ask, so why is there no reference to Lavona in his teaching? Lo nitzurcha elo lekoimetz de minchas choite. Rabbi Chiyo's Braisa is talking about a Shitas Rabbi Elazar with regard to a minchas choite. Now, in a minchas choite, a sin offering, a sin meal offering, does not have Lavona in the first place. Therefore, in a case where you have a minchas chote, even Rabbi Elazar will acknowledge that if one offers the handful outside the Beis HaMikdash, he will be chayev for haloas chutz with the komets of meal offering alone, because there is no other ingredient. The Gemara asks with wonderment, "Ve'ich bal tana l'ashmin en komets de minchas chote?" Does the Tana go out of his way to teach this rather unique or exceptional case? Is that which is exceptional the focus of his attention? The Gemara answers, in yes, that is in fact the Tana's intention, to feature the case of the Minchas Chote, the sin meal offering, and its lone komets being offered outside. V'chein ki osu Rav Dimi om Rav Elazar, and Rav Dimi has this teaching as well. Komets the Minchas Chote, who the Braisa of Rabbi Chiyo features the komets of the Minchas Chote, the Rabbi Elazar he, and it goes according to the Tana Rabbi Elazar. If we follow the scheme of things, the last point before we go on in any more Gemara text, the last point has a triangle facing up. We had placed it around the word in. And if you just follow or you trace backwards, where does that leave us? That would leave us with the original triangle shape that was around Rav Huna, which was also facing upwards. That would mean that Rav Huna's opinion is accepted at this point in Gemara. And just to review his shita, he held that the offering of akoimetz, in the case of Shirayim Shechosru, it's low mahani. It would not be effective in in making the Shirayim Pigol. And and also being motzi midei meila. As we go on in the Gemara, we now encounter Rava, and out of character with the standard back and forth markings, where the geometric shape flips back and forth, Rava here has the same triangle shape as the last point mentioned, indicating that Rava now is going to accept Rav Huna's approach to a certain degree. Omar Hodar, Omar Rava. Rava then turns around and says, Lav Milsohi de Amri. That which I said is not accurate. Rather, certainly, the kmitza, the offering of the kmitza, the haktar's kmitza on Shirayim Shechosru, will not be effective. Desanya, he quotes a Tanaic source that deals with the lechem upon him. Kodesh kodoshim hu, the pasuk says, and we learn from this: shim nifrisa achas mechaloiseha, if one of the loaves split. And Mifrasa, for our purposes, is the equivalent of Chosru. And with regard to the Lechem Aponim, the showbreads, the 12 loaves that sat in the Heichal, the loaves of bread constitute the Shirayim. The Koimetz of those showbreads of the Lechem Aponim is the Lavona that sits in the Bozichin receptacles that also were placed on the Shulchan. So the Pasuk tells us that if one of the breads became diminished, split or diminished, kulan psulos, they're all rendered unfit. We want to draw an inference. Ha yatsas, if however one of the loaves left the Beis HaMikdash, hani diiko gavoi, those that remain inside, sheros, they would be okay. Man shamis le di omar zrika moeles liyotse. Who is it that has been known to say that the sprinkling of the blood of a sacrifice that left the azara prematurely, namely before the zrika, nevertheless the zrika is effective? Rabbi Akiva, he. That's Shitas Rabbi Kiva. So, based on the inference that we just made, coming from the source dealing with the Lechem Aponim, we can establish that this source is according to Rabbi Kiva. The Ka'omar and Rabbi Kiva, who has, generally speaking, an opinion of that goes in the direction of effectiveness, the Ka'omar Nifra saw low. And he says that when it comes to the psul of chisaron, nifrasa, the splitting, or as we said, splitting is equivalent to chisaron, there the subsequent offering will not be effective. So we see, like Rav Huna had said that even Rabbi Akiva, very much in the direction of effectiveness, even Rabbi Akiva will say that when it comes to a problem of chisaron, when it comes to a problem of diminishing, there the subsequent offering, the offering in the case of the lechem aponim, or the offering of lechem aponim is the offering of the bazichin, or the offering of the komets with regard to a case of shirayim shechosru, there even Rabbi Akiva will say that the offering is not effective. And if that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, you can rest assured that certainly Rebbe Lozer will say the same thing. At this point, a very, very interesting thing in the Gemara takes place. Abaye now takes a position countering Rava. You'll notice the triangle here has a point facing down. The last time we saw Abaye, we noticed that he was in the context of he was presented with a triangle facing up. This you can see four lines from the top of this omid. The reason for this is, Abaye here is addressing Rava and saying to him that I realize you, Rava, are backing out from your original position, but you don't really have to back out as far as you are doing right now. We have a little note that we've included for this piece of Gemara on the inside margin. Let us read it together. The note says by the star, Al pi hashita mekubetzes oy zayin, according to the Shita Mekubetzes commentary in the footnote Zayin, Matras Abaye he, the purpose of Abaye, Lomar l'Rava, to tell Rava, the Ein Chutzorach lachzor ligamri mimash amarta meikora. You don't have to back out entirely from what you said originally. Where originally you had said, the Haktorah mo'ila l'shirayim shechosru. You had said that Haktorah does have benefit or has effectiveness with regard to shirayim shechosru. You don't have to back out entirely from that, which is what he seemed to have done right now, where he seemed to back out entirely and go like Rav Huna. V'rak mima shirotzisa loimar, if you want to retract what you originally said, all you have to do is retract from what you said, lomar, to say the afra b'lozer sover hachi. You went originally so far as to say that even Rebbe Lozer would agree that the Torah's koymetz on Shiram Shechosu would be effective. Regarding that point, you have to back out. But as far as Shitas Rebbe Kiva is concerned, in Ochinami, Haktorah Mo'ilo al Shiram Shechosu. So you don't have to back out from that point as well. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Omar le Abaye, mi kotoni ho yotsos. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara pointing up to where the inference was made just a few lines up. Does it say that, though? The source spoke about the lechem aponim shenifrisa, that the haktoras habozichin there would be posel. Does that mean that may, but by chisaron it's possible, but by yitzia it would be okay? It doesn't say that. Dilma ha nitmes. Maybe if you want to draw an inference from that lechem aponim source, the inference leading to something where we said the rest would be okay, that's a case where one of the loaves became tomei. Hanoch the other loaves ksheros. In other words, where tuma is the problem, that does not have enough, where tuma is a problem with regard to one of the loaves, it doesn't cast a problem with regard to all the rest. My taima, why in the case of tuma can we say that we have a leniency? Demiratzet sits, the golden headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol has a certain atonement power that cancels tumor-related problems. Aval, yotzos lo, v'Rebbe Lozer he. But if there was a problem of one of the loaves leaving the Beis HaMikdash, then in fact that would ruin the rest, and that the source featuring the lechem upon him, v'Rebbe Lozer he. This would conform to Rebbe Lozer, Diomar Ein Zrika Mo'eles Liotze, that the sprinkling of the blood of animal sacrifices that left the Beis HaMikdash prematurely, the subsequent sprinkling is ineffective. Ubedin hu deboye le lemisni nami yotsas. The lechem haponim source could have also taught the case of one of the loaves leaving the Beis HaMikdash. The high dikotoni nifrasa, the fact that the source featured the case of something becoming split or diminished, ha komashmalon, the point of the source was to teach me the following chidush, the following novel point. The afilu nifrasa diisei bifnim, even in a case where the rest of the breads, where all of the breads were in place, they were bifnim, they were in the heichal. Lo mahanyo haktorah. Even though they're all bifnim, haktorah won't be effective. And certainly if one of them left, Haktorah would not be effective. That's as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned. So the source that spoke about the Lechem Aponim, which is parallel to the case of Shirayim Shechosru, as we mentioned, Nifrasal is like Chisoron. The Lechem Aponim represents the Shirayim. So we have a case of Shirayim Shechosru, and it says in the source that it's all puzzle. That's according to Rebbe Lozar. Avol Rebbe Akiva, the Omar Zrika Moeles Liotse. But according to Rebbe Akiva, that said the sprinkling of the blood concerning the case of Yotse, the sprinkling is effective. Afilu Chisoronami Mahanyo Lehatora. Even with regard to Chisoron, the issue of the diminished Shirayim, the Haktoras Hakoimets will be effective. Notice how we've dashed underlined this Afilu Chisoronami Manule Haktora. This dash underline is to enable you to see how this point, this concluding point, is similar to the original Rava statement that said that Shirayim Shechosru, the Haktoras Kemitza, will be effective. You can see also in the original on the original Rava comment on Daf Yud Beis Omid Aleph, the very first of the wide lines toward the bottom of the page, you'll see also the dashed underline Mahanyo Le Haktorah. The only difference, and we were just reviewing a point we mentioned earlier, and this is courtesy of the Shita Mekubetzes, what Abaye is emphasizing here is, as far as Rava's concerned, Rava doesn't have to back out of his original presentation all the way. The only change that he has to make is that instead of arguing his position, that his original position, that Haktorah on Shirayim Shechosru is effective, and that applies to all Tanaic opinions, namely Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Akiva, simply say that my opinion reflects the opinion of Rebbe Akiva alone. The Mishnah. Le'echol kechatzi zayis u'lahaktir kechatzi zayis. A person takes the handful of the mincha, or does one of the subsequent stages of mincha offering, with the intention of eating a half olive quantity and burning on the mizbeach a half olive quantity. Lamochar, meaning at the wrong time. So a person, let's just use a convenient example. While taking the handful, the kmitza of a mincha, he has an intention of eating a half olive quantity tomorrow and burning a half olive quantity of the kmitz tomorrow. Kosher. She'ein achil v'aktor mitzdarfin. This type of mindset does not ruin the mincha, because his mindset, in order to get to a kezias quantity, which is the, let's say, quantity of guilt, in order to get to that, he had to combine a half kezias of eating and a half kezias of burning. Before going further, we would like to take a look at our topic heading that you see in the outside margin, the nosei. Ma nitan l'dayek v'mishnosenu dekotoni. What is an inference that one can draw from the Mishnah that taught the Ein Achil V'Aktorah Mitzdarfin? Our Mishnah taught that eating and burning mindsets concerning, let's say, half zesim of each one, that they do not join up, they do not combine to form a kezias quantity, which is a quantity of guilt. He'ora, nira lefiani zdaiti b'maskonas ha'gemora. It will appear, it seems to me, that by the end of the Gemara, HaMishnah Eina Shnuya Kedei L'dayek Mimena, that at the end of the day, this Mishnah is not here to draw inferences. L'dayek Mimena Halocha Acheres, Elohi Gufo Kamashma. We will see at the end of the day that the Mishnah is teaching me a halacha for its own sake. In other words, that without the Mishnah, I might have come to an incorrect conclusion, therefore I need the halacha that's taught in the Mishnah for its own sake. Emir Sashem, by the end of the sugya, will have a chance to evaluate this observation. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Taimo delecho lahaktir. The reason that there's no combination which would have resulted in guilt, the reason there's no combination, there's no tziruf, that's because his thought concerned achila lecho lahaktir, two separate actions. Separate type actions do not combine. However, and this is an inference, and we've schooled and underlined the word ho to emphasize that we're now into inference mode. Ho le'echol ve'le'echol dover shein darko le'echol. Let us say a person he takes the kmitza with the intention of eating a half zayas of shirayim and eating a half zayas of the komitz itself. Now the komitz is something that's ein darko lechol. One does not eat the handful. The handful is designed to be put in the fire on the mizbeach. However, we can infer from the Mishnah that if one had in mind to eat a half zayas of shirayim, which is what's supposed to be eaten, and a half zayas of the komitz, mitztaref, they would join up. And if he had in mind a chutz lizmano mindset, or a chutz limkoma mindset, that would be effective, and the mincha would be ruined. In the case of chutz lizmano, it would become penal. The Gemara asks, if that's what you are going to try to infer, well, there's a problem. V'ha katani reisha. The reisha of our Mishnah taught, and we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which will enable you to find where this quote is coming from. It teaches, le'echol dover shedarko le'echol, u'lahaktir dover shedarko lahaktir, that when does the incorrect mindset take effect? Dover shedarko le'echol in. Only if your mindset, your incorrect mindset, concerns something that ordinarily is eaten. She'ein darko le'choloi. However, if your incorrect mindset, your chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo mindset, concerns something that's not designed to be eaten, then it does not take effect. The Gemara answers, Man Tana, who is the author of our Mishnah? In the meantime, we're working with the assumption that the inference that we made is an effective inference, is a correct and accurate inference, namely the inference of lechol, v'lechol dover shein darko lechol. So the Gemara explains, Amar Birmiya, before we go further, we want to take note of this new geometric form. In the outside margin, you see under the Mivne heading, we see a house featured, and you see Rav Yirmiya and Abaye. They will receive this marking. Chokim, they disagree, Almoni Masnisin, who is the author of our Mishnah. So in the meantime, Rav Yirmiya says, Om Rav Yirmiya, Ha Moni, the author of our Mishnah is Rav Elazar he. Our Mishnah, from which we inferred that there will be tziruf, like we said, together with a dover she'ein darko lechol, this conforms or is in accordance with Rebbe Lozer's opinion. The Omar, Rebbe Lozer holds mechashvin me'achilas odom lachilas mizbeach u'me'achilas mizbeach lachilas odom. Machashvin means one who has an incorrect mindset. That incorrect mindset can have effect, even if one is thinking me'achilas odom to achilas mizbeach. This is the Aleph example, and the example of that is, he thinks concerning that which ordinarily is achilas odom, for example, that's the eating of the shirayim, but he has the mindset of it being burnt on the mizbech. Achilas mizbech, the eating of the mizbech, means the way the mizbech eats things is through its through the fire, through haktorah. So he thinks concerning something that's ordinarily eaten by people, the shirayim, and he has in mind that the shirayim will be burnt the next day. That would be considered an effective mindset. And likewise, u'me'achilas mizbeach l'achilas odom, for example, one has the intention, what's achilas mizbeach? The komets. And in the Bay's example, one has an intention of eating the komets the next day. And that is the example that we were dealing with when we made our inference from the Mishnah. The Snan, the Tanaic source, features Rabbi Elazar at the end of it. First, we have an opinion that's not like him. Hakoymetz is a mincha. One takes a handful of the meal offering with the following incorrect mindset. Lechol, dover shein darko lechol. While he's taking the handful, he has an intention of eating the kometz, let's say, at the wrong time. Or another example, lahaktir, dover shein darko lahaktir. Or, while taking the handful, he has in mind to burn on the mizbeach the shirayim. Kosher, the Tanakhama says, such a mindset will not have any negative effects on the mincha. Rabbi Elazar posel, but Rabbi Elazar holds that it will have a negative effect. So you can see that Rabbi Elazar holds that a machshava of eating the kometz, which is a dover she'ein darko lechol, is considered an effective machshava. And therefore, a chatzizayas of shirayim and a chatzizayas of achilas kometz the next day will result in pigul, according to Rabbi Elazar. And that's who our Mishnah happens to be, according to Rav Yirmiyahu's explanation. Abaye Omar Afilu Teimo Rabbonon. You can say that our Mishnah conforms to the Rabbonon. However, don't make the inference from the Mishnah like you did before. Lo Teimo. Don't say, ho, lechol. And by the way, we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating where the original inference took place to make it easy to find. What we're telling you right now, don't say like we said before. Lo tema ha le'echol ve'le'echol dover shein darko le'echol. Don't say that there is tziruf between a half zayas, half olive quantity of shirayim and a half olive quantity of kometz. Elo emo, rather say as your inference, namely, when will there be a case of tziruf? Ha le'echol v'le'echol dover shedarko le'echol. What in the world is this? This would be a case where a person has in mind a chatzi zayas, to eat a chatzi zayas bachutz, and another chatzi zayas lemochar. If a person has a mindset like that, a chatzi zayis b'chutz and a chatzi zayis l'mocher, they will mitstarev to ruin the mincha, to create psul. Now, of course, not to create pigel, but to create psul. So that, as far as, if we go back to the drawing board, when is there no tziruf? When is the mincha kosher? That's if you have in mind two separate actions, to eat a chatzi zayas and to offer up a chatzi zayas lemochar. There's no tziruf. Those are two separate actions. However, where you have two same actions, just that one is time and one is place, there will be tziruf. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. We have a diamond that appears, and in the outside margin, the Mivneh heading, these diamonds represent Shlavei Birur Mai Komash Malon Mishnosenu. We're going to encounter now a long question that has a number of stages to it, trying to figure out what is this Mishnah really teaching us. We just suggested an inference that maybe is the Chidush of the Mishnah. The Gemara will challenge this and say, do I really need our Mishnah to teach me this point? In other words, do I need the inference from this Mishnah to teach me this point? Is it not so that we may have already learned this elsewhere prior to this? Before going further in the Gemara, a general word about what we are about to see, we find in the Tosfos. Tosfos at the bottom says, Elo emo ho lechol v'lechol dover shedarko lechol. Mikan v'elech ksuvu besforim b'shibush. V'tzorch lagia kan kemo shiksuva kemo shihi ksuva besoiv perik beiz dezvochem. I am using this Tosfos simply as a jump-off point to say that the feeling of Tosfos is that the text of the Gemara here is not too accurate, too clear, and better to adopt the reading of the same sugya that appears in the second perek of Zvochim. As we go along, we will try to work in a reasonable explanation based on the Rashi, but bear in mind that there is quite a bit of text commentary and different versions suggested that we will encounter as we go along. But as we said, we're going to try to present a reasonable explanation, and hopefully one can find a basis for our explanation as we go along in the Rashi. And of course, taking advantage of some of the text emendations as they appear. So at this point, the last idea that was mentioned in the Gemara is that our Mishnah is according to the Rabbanan. We don't have to limit it to Shitas Rebbe Lazar. And Abai wants to tell us that our Mishnah has value insofar as the inference drawn from it, that the incorrect mindset concerning two eating actions of a Chatzi Zayas Chutz Lizmano and a Chatzi Zayas Chutz Komo, join up to create psul, to ruin the mincha offering. The Gemara asks, and we did note already, hopefully, that this is a long question, but we should point out, marking-wise, you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line that goes quite a bit down Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Even though we are dealing with a shiur in the context of Daf Yomi, it would not be responsible to stop the Gemara at any point before the end of the perek on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So in order to preserve clarity, we're going to have to compromise a little bit on stopping points and continue a bit further than one ordinarily would. So we turn to the Gemara and it asks, Umay komash molon. This seifa, namely the Mishnah, which we're going to refer to as the seifa of the end of the previous Mishnah, in our mind's eye we should see that this short Mishnah that we had just a few lines up is essentially the end of the long Mishnah that we had seen in the previous shiur. The Gemara wants to know, what is this seifa telling us? If you'll tell me that it's to teach me this point of inference, this, in fact, is stated explicitly in the previous Mishnah. Ha behedya katoni la. And we have a frame around the Tanaic quote. Lechol kezayas bachutz u kezayas lemocher. Kezayas lemocher u kezayas bachutz. And now we become interested. Kechatzi zayas bachutz u kechatzi zayas lemocher. Kechatzi zayas lemocher u kechatzi zayas bachutz. You see in these last two examples, the issue of the chatzi zayas is featured. And we see posel v'ein bo koreis. They join up to ruin the mincha. However, there is no kores penalty. So, if the Mishnah is taught here with the intention of conveying the inference that Abaye suggested, I don't need our Mishnah for that purpose. Ha su lama li. What, therefore, do I need to have the inference from our Sefer when we already knew that from the Mishnah before? Now, if you'll ask, so then what do I need the Seifa for? Maybe you'll tell me it's to teach the following inference. E lechol v'lechol dover she'ein darkoi lechol. If it's coming to teach me this idea of the two eating actions, where you have a chatzizayis of that which is, you have in mind, to eat a chatzizayis of that which is normally eaten, and another chatzizayis of that which is normally not eaten, well, me reisha shamis mino, I would have figured from the reisha that it's not mitzaref. Let's go over this point again. If you'll tell me that the inference of our Mishnah is to teach me that there would be tziruf between a chatzizayis of darku lechol and a chatzizayis of ein darku lechol, it can't be that the Seifa is teaching me that there would be tziruf in that case, when the Reisha teaches me that it's not mitzaref. Let's take a look at the Rashi on the second line, for the very end of the first line from the top of the first line of Rashi. It says Ha Meirei Shel Shamas Mina De Lo Mitzdarfin, that the such a combination would not take effect. The Katoni Reisha, the Reisha taught Dovar Shadarka Lechol. When does a Machsheves Pigol or Machsheves Psul take effect? Provided you have a Machsheva concerning something which is normally eaten. That's in there, the machshava can take effect. She'ein darkoi lecholo. If it concerns something that's not normally eaten, the machshava psula doesn't take effect. Continuing in the Gemara, we're now picking up with the next diamond, five lines from the top. E lechol ulahaktir. If the Mishnah is being taught for its own sake, meaning without any diuk in mind, that point itself, I didn't need to say before, mi diyuka de resha shamas mina. I could have inferred that from an inference in the resha. Before going further, let's glance at the Rashi, three lines from the top. Ha mi dukyo de resha shamas mina. Mi de daikinon me resha. From the fact that we inferred from the resha, dover shidarko lechol in. Once again, Dover She'ein Darko Lechol, Im Chishev Lechol, Chatzi Zayas Shirayim V'Chatzi Zayas Koimetz L'mochar, Lo Havya Machshava. From the fact that we already inferred from the Reisha concerning a Dover She'ein Darko Lechol, that even though we're talking about an action of Achila, if he had in mind a machshava of achila of a normal, a chatzizais of that which is eaten, and a chatzizais of that which is not eaten, that's lo havya machshava. Kol shekain, Rashi goes on, kol shekain delechol chatzizais shirayim ulaakter chatzizais koimetz di'ein mitzdarfin. Then all the more so where you have a machshava concerning two different actions, a chatzizais of an eating action and a chatzizais of a burning action, that certainly won't be mitzdarif. Let's go over that point again. We already inferred from the Reisha that where you have a machshava concerning two chatzizesim of the same action and it's not mitzdarev, to two chatzizesim of different actions certainly won't be mitzdarev. Let's look into the Gemara. So we just said that if the point of the Mishnah is to teach me the idea that Achil and Akhtar are not Mitzdarfin, that I could have figured out from an inference in the Reisha. Mi diyuka de Reisha Shamas Mina. Dehashta ma lechol velechol dover shein darko lechol amris lo mitzdarif. Mind you, where you have a machshava concerning two chatzizesim involving the same action, just that one chatzizais is something that's not normally eaten, and you said lo mitzdarev, even though it's the same action, lechol lahakdir mibaya. Do I have to tell you that where you have two different actions in mind, that it's not mitzdarev? That's obvious. The Gemara now answers, it's not so obvious. From the information in the Reisha, I would not have been able to figure out that which our Mishnah is teaching. Namely, we need our Mishnah at face value. In other words, our Mishnah is itself a Chiddush. The Gemara explains. In means, yes, I need to tell you that Lechol Ahaktir is not Mitzdarif. In. Lechol Ulahaktir itzdericha le. I need to tell you about this. Salkadai techamina. I might have thought. Hosam who, in the case of the diuk of the reisha, the lo ki urche kamechashev. There you have a mindset concerning that which is not normal. Namely, you had a mindset to eat a chatzi zayas of komets. That's called lav ki urche. Avol hocha, in the seifa, where it's lechol and lahaktir, de bahai ki urche komechashev, ubahai ki urche komechashev. With regard to the eating, you have in mind to eat a half olive quantity of shirayim. That's normal. You have in mind another half olive quantity of burning the komets. That's also normal. A half olive quantity of komets to be burnt is a normal thing, namely burning of komets. Emol itzarif. I would have thought that there would be tziruf, there would be combination to create pigol. Komash malon. That's what our Mishnah is coming to tell me, that even though both half zaysim that you have in mind are normal procedures, nevertheless, achila and haftara are not mitzarif. And at this point, therefore, we want to reevaluate our opening observation that our Mishnah is not here to tell me or communicate some type of inferred halacha, but rather I need the Mishnah at face value to teach me this particular chiddush that achila and haftara, even though high ki urche vehai ki urche, they're both normal procedures, nevertheless they do not combine because you're dealing with different actions. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.